Good afternoon. The Senate Judiciary Committee meeting is called to order. Today is Monday, March 7th, 2022. The time is 1:35 p.m. We're meeting in State Capitol Room number 205. Senators in attendance are Senator Keel, Senator Showers, Senator Hughes, and myself as Chair, Senator Holland. Senator Myers will not be joining us today. We do have a quorum to conduct business, and thank you to Nancy, our recording secretary, and Jake, our moderator for today. As a reminder, if you have your cell phone on you, please silence your cell phone. First up, I'll now bring Senate Bill 118 back before the committee. Senate Bill 118 is related to creating a nullification committee. This is the third hearing for SB 118 and Senate Judiciary. Senator Reinbold, we've had some scheduling challenges during the previous two hearings on your bill. Would you like to come up to the presenter's table and offer your sponsor statement or just a few words on Senate Bill 118?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. We have heard this bill a few times in regards to nullification of federal law. As you know, the Constitution helps confine the federal government and, a matter of fact, the government in general. And if you want to read, it's by Thomas Woods. Its nullification is not unconstitutional. As a matter of fact, Amendment 6, 7, and 10 all do support this type of effort. With that, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Senator Reinbold. Are there any questions for the sponsor? Seeing none. We do have a committee substitute for this bill. Senator Shire, would you care to make a motion?
Of course, Mr. Chairman. I move that Senate Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 118, Work Order 32-LS0563/Bravo, be reported from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Adopt the.
Yeah, brief at ease.
My apologies.
Sorry, Senate Judiciary Committee is back in the record. Senator Shower, do you care to withdraw your last motion?
I do like to withdraw my last motion, Mr. President. I will slow it down because clearly I am time warping us to the next phase of the meeting, so it must be in a hurry.
Senator Shower, would you have another motion?
I move to adopt the proposed committee substitute for Senate Bill 118, Work Order 32-LS05634/Bravo as the working document.
I will object for discussion. Mr. King? Would you please go to the presenter's table and walk us through the changes in the committee substitute?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Ed King, staff to Senator Holland. Mr. Chairman, the proposed CS makes several changes to the bill that's before you. The first change is it adds a new Section 1. Section 1 of the new version of the CS empowers this new board that's created to introduce legislation through the rules chair or through the rules committees. Section 2 of the bill has several changes as well. I'll just read through them, Mr. Chairman. The first is that the committee membership is reduced from 16 members to 6. Those 6 members are the 2 chairs of the Judiciary Committees, the 2 chairs of the State Affairs Committees, and then 1 minority member from each body. It also provides that members may request to review federal legislation or other actions rather than requiring a review of every federal law or other items. Mr. Chairman, the CS also limits meetings to only during the interim so it doesn't interrupt other business of the legislature. It allows the co-chairs to consider the availability of staff before taking on a new review. And it expands the options of the committee to include submitting resolutions to withhold resources for enforcement, urging the Attorney General to file a lawsuit, drafting a nullification bill, introducing legislation counteracting a federal law, or recommending the legislature take another action. And then, Mr. Chairman, it also deletes the paragraph at the end of the previous Section 2 directing Alaskans to ignore federal law. And then Section 2 of the original bill has also been deleted.
All right. Thank you, Mr. King. I will remove my objection with no further objection. Version B is our working document. Are there any amendments? And is there further debate on Senator Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the committee substitute. I think this is a much streamlined approach, and takes out maybe some of the most concerning part. But I guess it's a little bit like the member who's not present today tells jokes that amount to terrible puns. With a very tight 1-2 setup punchline approach. I tend to make the same puns with very long, shaggy dog stories. But in the end, everybody groans either way. So I very much appreciate that the committee substitute is a tight setup punchline 1-2. But ultimately, it comes down to the notion that a state can nullify federal law. And it was certainly a popular notion at one point, especially pre-Civil War. In fact, I believe 1831 and 32 were referred to as the nullification crisis in our nation's history, when we almost came to a civil war. and history has shown us the trouble that the notion can cause. And our Constitution, I think, has been understood. Our country's life has been lived, and our Constitution has been amended in ways that make it pretty clear today that this is not a power states have. So I appreciate some of the options here in this CS about resolutions and calling on the Attorney General to file lawsuits, which is the appropriate tack. But ultimately, there's still material in here that sets up a color of law for the state to do a thing the state can't do. So I'm going to have to oppose the bill moving on. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Senator Hughes.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd like to read the definition of nullify. Number one, to render, declare legally void or inoperative. Number two, to deprive of value or effectiveness, make futile or of no consequence. And then I'd like to draw the attention of committee members and those listening the fact of what Alaska did in regard to essentially nullifying the marijuana laws at the federal level as far as what we do here in this state. So I think it has been precedent set for that kind of nullification. It doesn't mean the statute goes off the federal law books. It just means something would be inoperative here, and we have already done that with marijuana, so I feel comfortable with what we're proposing here.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Senator Schauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I am not ready to read the motion yet, just so you know, because I don't want to get too far ahead. I want to talk to this because often we have a good debate, but I think this is important to get on the record. Some good thoughts here. However, I disagree with my esteemed colleague to the left about things that we can't do. There is a reason why there has been momentum gaining traction in this country for a convention of the states. Because I go back to the federal government has gotten really good at twisting the arm of states and people that don't want their arms twisted, and it does it primarily through money, through leverage. It's happened recently with the Guard problem we have seen with the military for those that don't want to take a shot. And what has come down through the pike, and I know this from talking to people at all the way to the highest levels in D.C., is when the Guard members said they didn't want to do this, and then the TAG and our governor have gotten involved, the answer was, well, if you don't do it, we're going to cut your funding. The federal government wields money as a weapon against states that do not want to do a certain thing because the people in that state do not want to do it. And just because the federal government says so, does not necessarily make it right, and it doesn't mean that we shouldn't fight back about things that don't work for Alaskans. I believe it is our duty to fight for the things that our people want, and if somebody in Washington, D.C. is trying to tell us how we're going to live our lives and the things we're going to do and our citizens do not want that, then it is our right and our duty to resist that. And quite frankly, Mr. Chairman, what works in Florida does not necessarily work in California, does not necessarily work in Alaska or New York. We are different states in a federated system for a reason. We were supposed to have states' rights. We were supposed to have the ability, wherever we were with those people, to make decisions. A place like New York City is very different from the farmland of Oklahoma and what people need and respect and want and desire in their lives. And having a federal government that is so powerful that it tells us how we're going to live and we have no choice. What's the point of even having states and state constitutions that we might as well just live under one monolithic government that tells us how to live? What's the point of that? We have a system, Mr. Chairman, for a reason. This is a seminal debate of our time, with a federal government that since really World War II has usurped most power and wields money as a weapon. And I appreciate the effort, and I understand there's much bigger legal things taking place. I appreciate all that. My point is, Mr. Chairman, that we should be looking at this at a minimum as a way for us to debate as the legislature things that our people don't want to live under that are different, and we should be responding to that, even if we have to fight legal challenges and do other things. This is nothing more than, to me, a way for us as a legislative body to debate these topics and make sure that we're not doing things, because we talked about it in election reform. Bifurcate the system. If the feds want to shove down a certain way of doing business, that's fine. They do it themselves. We're not going to give them our resources. We're going to not use the people's money of Alaska to do those things. And we just say, fine, do it on your own, but we're not going to help you. You're not going to use state resources. You're not going to use state troopers. You're not going to use the state system of election, whatever it may be. We have resources and options to take care of our people and what they want. And so I just think this is a little bit passionate on this one, but I think this is a big deal, Mr. Chairman. I want that on the record, that I believe it is our duty as the legislature to not just roll over because the feds threaten us with a ruling, or the feds threaten us with money. And I know how it works. I've been there. So I appreciate you letting me have a little diatribe for a couple of minutes, but I think this is a very important one. Thanks, Mr. Chair. And I do support the bill as it is. And I appreciate the committee substitute.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Hughes.
I like the fact that this is not the floor and we're allowed to have an extra crack at it, unlike on the floor. When I think about the 10th Amendment, I am fully confident that it was included to provide a check and balance between the state and federal government. And for those listening, the 10th Amendment, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by to the states are reserved to the states. And if things are passed at the federal level that violate the 10th Amendment, are we going to sit around twiddle our thumbs until someday maybe the courts make a decision? Or can we put the check on the federal government? I think we can, and we think we should, and I think it's our duty to do so. So I think that our founding fathers put that in the Constitution for a reason, and I think this bill is in line with that.
All right, with no further amendments and no further debate, I will look to Senator Schauer for the will of the committee.
I'll try to get it right this time, Mr. Chairman. It's this one, this motion right here, the one I already did. Yeah, can I not just say do over? Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 118, Work Order 32-LS05634/Bravo, be reported from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay. Is there objection? So there is an objection. Senator Keel, do you care to speak any more to the objection? I think you laid out your thoughts pretty clearly.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'll just note that the bill differentiates between what it calls effective nullification, which is what Senator Hughes described, and nullification, which is in a separate section. And that has generally understood to actually require interference with federal enforcement efforts. I actually, in large part, agree with much of what Senator Schauer said. Very little of it had anything to do with this bill. Of course, under the Prince v. United States case, we don't have to take their money. We can just not do the thing. We then don't get the money. That's okay. That happens. We've done that. That's not a nullification issue. So rather than rehash and take a long time, I'll just add those 2 points in rebuttal and maintain my objection.
All right. Thank you, Senator Keel. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Yes.
Senator Myers absent. Senator Keel.
No.
Senator Holland.
Yes.
3 yeas, 1 nay.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. With 3 yeas and 1 nay, Senate Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 118, Work Order 32-0563/B, has been reported from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Senator Reinbold, do you have any closing comments on this bill?
Bottom line is, Mr. Chairman, thank you, and thank you. I think this issue is a very important discussion. I think we take an oath to protect individual liberties. I think state sovereignty is of critical importance, and we have got a federal government that is impacting our resource development, telling us to wear masks on buses and all this kind of stuff. What they've done is some of the broadest brush issues. They've colored far out of their lane, and I think this issue is one of the most important issues that we do need to address. I want to thank you for the time of the committee for hearing this and getting it out.
Thank you, Senator Reinbold. A brief it is to sign the paperwork. Thank you, Senate Judiciary Committee is back on the record. We'll now bring Senate Bill 187 back before the committee. 187 is related to sex offenses. This is the fourth hearing for Senate Bill 187. We do have John Skidmore standing by on the phone and quite a few other people available. Are there any final questions from members on this version of the bill? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I think we've gone through most of it. There are a couple of provisions I'm not 100% clear on. And I think on 187 here, one of those is, let me see if I can get my notes in the right place. I apologize. I think I'm looking at section 16 on page 12 of the bill that makes an adjustment to House Bill 49 we passed 2 years ago. And if I understand correctly, this is the much debated requirement that folks who are required to register as sex offenders in another state be required to register in Alaska. What this section does is require those who were required to register in another state before House Bill 49 passed. Section 16? Sorry, page 12.
Bottom of page 12.
Yeah, thank you. Before House Bill 49 passed. And it was brought up to me that may raise some constitutional issues because of how the Alaska Supreme Court understands our sex offender registry. And I wonder if the department could speak to the constitutionality. I know we had the argument about somebody registering in Alaska for something that's not a registrable offense in Alaska. That's weird as that sounds, that's the law now. But doing so for an offense before the bill passed.
All right. Thank you, Senator Keel. Mr. Skidmore, if you can hear us, please state your name, your affiliation, your location, and begin providing any response to Senator Keel's question.
Good afternoon, members of Senate Judiciary and Chairman Holland. My name is John Skidmore. I'm the Deputy Attorney General for the Alaska Department of Law. Through the chair, Senator Keel, the answer to your question, the constitutionality here is not a concern. The concept that you're referring to is an ex post facto, which really means that there would be an enhanced penalty or an added penalty to someone after they had committed the crime that's later passed. And I think what you're referring to is the concept that within Alaska, our Supreme Court has deemed that sex offender registration can, in part, be deemed to be punitive. However, the reason that ex post facto is not a concern is because we are not telling an individual, you must register for a crime, having committed a crime that previously, when they committed the crime, they would not have had to register for. In fact, they are required to register in the state where they committed the crime. The only thing that is happening here is we are telling them, when you move to Alaska, you will still have to register for the same thing that you were required to register from some other place. So we are not actually adding to their punishment. We're just clarifying that when you want to move here, those same registration requirements will carry over. It would only be an ex post facto violation if the person was not required to register at the time that they were convicted, and then we are now trying to add to it. So can I envision someone may try and challenge that in court? Sure, I can envision someone will make that argument. But that's our analysis here, and that's why the department believes that this will not present those constitutional issues.
Senator Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would that person have to remain registered in their state of conviction when they moved to Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, I don't know if the person has to continue to register in their state as well, since they no longer reside in that state. But the idea is that because the registration was required in that state at the time of conviction, that's where the punishment is. The punitive aspect of it, if other states' courts were to follow our state court. I don't know that all states' courts have said that registration is punitive. But it's because that registration requirement already existed for them, that's what separates this in those circumstances.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Senator Schauer said, I'm not as concerned about other states' courts and how they understand things. One size doesn't fit all. My concern is that you have someone who is not subject to either a punitive or a regulatory schema in Alaska, and then is subjected to a system that is both. And as bizarre as it is to subject them to that for something that if they had done it here, they wouldn't have to register. They are facing now a partially punitive element in our state after the fact. So that I guess that concerns me, again, from that ex post facto, if I use the right phrase, analysis. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Senator Hughes.
I'm a bit confused and might need your help, Mr. Skidmore, just on that last line of questioning. When Senator Keel said that the person wouldn't have had to register had they been in Alaska when they performed, you know, were convicted of a charge, is that because of the timing, or does that have to do with different states have different requirements as far as the types of offenses for which a person has to register?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I don't want to speak for Senator Keel in terms of what he meant, but I can tell you that our law in Alaska says that if you are required to register in another state as a sex offender, then you will have to register in Alaska as a sex offender, even if that other state's provisions require registration for a crime that had you committed that crime in Alaska, we wouldn't have required you to register here. But if the other state was requiring you to register for it, then we will require you to register because that's what the other state's requirement had been. The concept behind it was we don't want to encourage individuals who are required to register as sex offenders in any state to avoid those registration requirements simply by moving to Alaska. So, I don't know if that's precisely what Senator Keel is referring to, but I can tell you that that's what the law says currently.
And follow up? Thank you. And I suppose I should just ask Senator Keel, but I think I understand it now, and I realize that there could be some risk where it could be challenged, but I do think that if a person moves here so that they would not have to be registered, that punitive aspect basically disappears, and they would be enticed, I would think, to live here. So we would be I just don't want Alaska to be a magnet for folks wanting to get off of sex offender registries in other states. So I'm willing to take the risk and see how it plays out. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Senator Hughes. Is there are there any other questions regarding Senate Bill 187? Seeing none, at this point, I'll set Senate Bill 187 aside. We are working on a committee substitute. We should have it out probably by the end of this week. And at this time, I'll bring Senate Bill 188 89 back before the committee. 189 is related to sex trafficking. This is the third hearing of Senate Bill 189 before this committee. Are there any final questions from members on this version? Seeing no...
Yeah. I'll raise it higher if you want.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I only have one. I shouldn't say that, I'll jinx it. Looking at Section 22 of the bill, page 17, which is a sentencing section. And if I'm remembering my notes are right on the cross references here. This is about sentencing someone for purchasing sexual activity. So the Class A misdemeanor. I just want to make sure I understand Section 1 there correctly, that a person, we're going to have this mandatory 72-hour minimum sentence, and if you have a prior conviction, and the look back on that isn't 5 years or 10 years, the look back on that is infinity. Am I understanding that right, or is there something else elsewhere in the law that affects that?
Mr. Skidmore?
Through the chairs. Sorry about that. They were unmuting my line there. Through the chair, Senator Keel, if you'll give me just one moment, I recognize that there does not appear to be a look back attached in this particular subsection that's added to that statute. But what I want to do is I want to look at the statute itself, because I believe there is a look back in the statute itself. But let me confirm that. Give me just one moment.
A brief at ease. We'll come back to you in a second, Mr. Skidmore. Senate Judiciary is back on the record. And Mr. Skidmore, whenever you get a chance to dig out that answer, feel free to put yourself back on the record and jump on into it.
Thank you, Chair Holland. This is John Skidmore for the record again. The answer, through the chair to Senator Keel, the answer to your question is actually found not in 1255-135, but in 1255-145. So that's a statute that comes just a couple statutes later that actually talks about prior convictions. And in 1255-145, subsection 3, which refers back to 1255-135, it talks about a five-year period for previous convictions. And so it's a five-year look back on that, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Thank you, Mr. Skidmore. Are there any other questions? And I got a feeling we're probably hurting for questions because Senator Myers is not present today. But so this being the third hearing of Senate Bill 189, with no further questions, I'll set Senate Bill 189 aside, as also we're working on a committee substitute on that bill. And at that point, there's nothing else on the agenda. Is there any other business before the committee? And seeing no other business before this committee, our next meeting will be Wednesday, March 9th at 1:30 p.m. We are adjourned at 2:05.